Now our scripture reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, 25 through 33. And this is the Contemporary English Bible. Hear these words of grace. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat. Oh, I invite you to stand. Let's start again. Thank you. Let's stand. I'm going to start over. I'm going to say a quick prayer in my head that I can get on track here. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops into barns. Aren't you worth much more than they? Who among you, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Notice how the lilies in the field grow. They don't wear themselves out with work, and they don't spin cloth. But I say to you, even Solomon, in all of his splendor, wasn't dressed as one like these. If God dresses grass in the field so beautifully, even though it's alive today and tomorrow, it's thrown into the furnace, won't God do much more for you, you people of weak faith? Therefore, don't worry and say, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? Gentiles long for all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. The inspired word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So in our last week of the sermon series, The Games People Play. The game of Monopoly, of course, is today's game, as you can see. It originated in the United States in 1903 in sort of its first version as a way to demonstrate an economy that rewards wealth as a way to live. The current version that you see here that we kind of all know about was first published in 1935. If you remember what was going on in 1935. The Depression, right? So here's a game about acquiring wealth and having money in a time when people didn't have many of those things. It's named after the economic concept of monopoly, or the domination of the market by a single entity. And of course, we recognize some of the negative aspects of that. The original game format was based on streets in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And even one of them spelled wrong, it turns out. Since its introduction in the 1930s, there have been hundreds of versions. Whatever the trending theme is, I was looking online, and there's even a Minion version. There's, you know, a Frozen version, all kinds of things. And then in 2008, they did a reboot and did the original kind of game, but with modern properties that we have now and modern amounts of money. According to the rules of play for Monopoly, the object of the game is to become the wealthiest player by buying, renting, and selling property. So become the wealthiest. And the game is played in a way that rent steadily increases the more properties you acquire and the more houses and hotels you put on. And then it drives other players to the point of bankruptcy, right? That's how the game is played. And if you play it to the end, that's where you get. Somebody wins and everybody else has nothing. So who has played Monopoly? Okay, I figured this would be the one that most people had played. What's your favorite piece? Shoe? The what? The little Scotty, okay. The horse? The iron, yep. I like the top hat. That's my fave. All right, so what's your favorite property then? Railroads, boardwalk. What's that? The green? See, mine are the yellows. I like the yellows. They're sort of not so high-end, but they're still affordable, you know, kind of middle of the road. Yep. And so who's good at the game? Who are the Monopoly dominant ones? So-so? It's always the banker. Yes, yes. The banker has all the money. Seems like, yeah, the banker always has extra, right? Okay, so have you ever wished that that was real? Especially that $500 bill, right? Have you ever? As kids, we always wished it was real. Even now, sometimes wish it was real. When I started this sermon series, I shared that the best Christmas that my sister and I had as children was the year that we received 11 games for Christmas. Of course, Monopoly was one of those games and had a brand new, you know, everything, open all the packages. My sister, Kim, some of you met her a couple weeks ago. She was better at it than I was, and I eventually stopped playing with her because it became no fun. But she kept playing, and she and her friend loved to play. In fact, they would come home after school. This is late elementary and junior high. They'd come home after school, and they would continue the game. It stayed set up in our family room for days on end, and they would play until the bitter end. And the bitter end is one of them wins, and one of them is bankrupt, right? They played it so long and got to that point. I never really had that kind of attention span. I wasn't ever that dedicated to it. I like a good 1 or 2 hour game of Monopoly, and then let's call it good and move on. I mean, it's a fun game. I like the game of Monopoly, but it's rather repetitive, right? If you think about Monopoly, it's a repetitive game. Players move their pieces around and around and around and around the board. And, you know, you sort of dread these certain areas that have lots of houses and hotels and get excited if you get past them without landing and needing to pay somebody rent. Every time you pass go, you see it says collect $200 salary as you pass. That's your salary every time you go past. And the play just consists of buying, paying rent, collecting rent, and trying not to get into jail, right? Right? Don't want to go to jail. Three doubles, you go to jail. Get a go-to-jail card. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. And probably the only thing that breaks up the game of Monopoly is if you get the free parking space and some money, or you hit doubles and get to go again. And then when the game of Monopoly is all over, you pick up all your pieces, and you put them back in the box, and you put the box back on the shelf. If you think about the game of Monopoly, it sort of mirrors our society in which we live. People are constantly trying to get the next best electronic device, next best car, next best outfit, whatever the thing is, always looking out for number one, always thinking of themselves. How much of like society are you? Are you living a game like the game of Monopoly, spending your money on things, thinking only of yourself, collecting possessions along the way that in some cases can't be contained in a house, need a storage unit, need an extra garage to place all of them? Many of the stuff that we have at the end of our lives, we maybe didn't even open or use, or we can't use as we get older. At the end of life, what do we do with all of the stuff that we have acquired? And can all the stuff add to your days of life? And can all the money that you take with you actually go with you when you die? Jesus offers us a different way to live. What if we played this game of life not so much like a game of Monopoly, but a game of mission? How would it look if we played, maybe those squares are opportunities to serve or opportunities to spend your money and time making a difference for other people's life? Because one of the things that this game of Monopoly lacks is kind of helping out others. Sometimes Community Chest, sometimes Chance has a little, hey, you did something nice in the community, get $75. But mostly, we are called to live our life to grow God's kingdom here on earth and not to play it like Monopoly and bankrupt the rest of the world. What if we did in our lives what verse 33 says? It says, therefore, don't worry and say, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Instead of seeking things and seeking money, we're called to seek God first. Instead of worrying about prestige and status and what others think, try reflecting Christ's character. Instead of loving yourself above all others, try loving Jesus first and loving all those whom Jesus loved. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but Jesus loved some people that society doesn't hold in very high regards. And Jesus traveled around the countryside with only the clothes on his back to preach with his disciples and to teach. He didn't have a bunch of stuff back home that he went back home to be comfortable with. Whatever he had was on his person. And he didn't travel around the country with a set of luggage matching, pulling a little bag behind him. He had what he had in a little satchel on his shoulder. Jesus didn't spend his time trying to impress the rich and powerful. In fact, we see in Scripture that he actually ticked off the rich and powerful, usually. Instead, he spent his time loving and helping others, especially children and the lost, the poor, the sick, those in prison, the homeless, the hungry. Jesus knew what was important and that helping others know and love God was first and foremost in his mission as in his time on earth. What's important to you? Is it money, things, prestige, and power? Or is it important to you to reach out to people in need, to spend time with family and friends, to share your faith and grow your faith? You see, the things that you place value on in your life will either bring you closer to Jesus Christ or farther away from him. Living life like Monopoly brings us farther away from Christ. The more value we place on stuff, the more we worry about losing our stuff. The more stuff you have, the more you worry about losing it. Matthew's passage talks a lot about worry. If we live our lives like the game of Monopoly, we spend our life worrying whether or not we can pay rent, worrying whether or not we have enough material things, or we're going to lose our material things, or somebody's going to steal our material things. Worrying about our health and all of those things. But Christ calls us to say that when we worry, it damages our health. It consumes our days and consumes our thoughts. It disrupts our creativity and our productivity. Worry negatively impacts the relationships that we have with other people. This inability to trust God makes it so that our relationship with God is less. When we worry too much, we're not trusting that God will care well for us. Yet seeking the kingdom of God first, which really means trusting in God's promises, can help us live a life that's reduced of worry, or at least reduced or non-existent of worry. I imagine that it's hard to get all the worry out because we're human, but God calls us to let as much go as we possibly can. And letting Jesus be the Lord of our lives can drastically change how we view the world. It can help us to be less consumed by fear. Jesus taught in his life about putting others first, about living a life on mission. Now, I think our viewpoint of mission in the past was what happens across the ocean. But really, Jesus was talking about living on mission is something that we can do every day of our lives. Have you ever thought about what it means to live life on mission? This summer, a group of dedicated hard workers led by Renee Menti did some great mission work throughout the community, and there were a lot of people that helped with that and did different things to help the work around the community. And that was an important ministry of this church. This sort of setting aside of our busy schedules to be immersed in mission work for a short period of time is important, and it's rewarding. And daily we're called to do those kinds of things. Daily we're called to live our life on mission in the midst of just every encounter that we have. Sitting among you, a part of this church, are people who live their life on mission. They're the holy folders and the finance folks. They're the prayer shawl makers and the prayer shawl deliverers. They're those who visit at Prairie Hills and at Cedar Manor, youth leaders and Sunday school teachers, shared blessing servants, worship leaders and gig leaders, those people who care for our building and keep it going, those who read to children and have vocations outside of the church in the community that help people. Of course, that list is not complete. We could go on and on about the many servants among us, because there are many more who live their life on mission in this community. Seeking God first helps us live our life on mission. It's the power of the Holy Spirit encouraging and nudging us in our lives to action in order to serve others. How would this community, Tipton, this church, be different if instead of the game of Monopoly played in larger society, that it's actually a game that reflects living life on mission? What would happen if hurting people, lonely people, financially challenged folks felt worthy and loved because we decided to use our resources of time and money to serve and help others? How would this community be different? How would needs be met? I thought I'd let you know about an opportunity to be in mission daily in your lives. We have a new neighbor just to the south. The house is a rental, and there's a new family living there. And a person who lives their life on mission might stop by and introduce themselves, take a plate of cookies, invite them to church. Just be kind and loving. Every time somebody new comes into our midst, we have the opportunity to share Christ. We have the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus. My friends, no matter how old you are, how young you are, you can live your life on mission. Calls and cards and just moments spent with people can mean so very much. So I ask you, what game are you playing? Because it's called the games people play. We all play games. Just to recap a little bit about our sermon series, the game of life has us counting our days and living each day for Christ. In the game of solitaire, we talked about meeting together in worship, meeting together in our gigs. The game of Jenga, we talked about building a solid foundation on Jesus Christ. And in Uno, trusting God when the game changers came our way. And the game of Monopoly, as we try to live not like the game of Monopoly, but to live our life on mission, seeking Jesus Christ. I pray that you will walk each day with Christ, that you will know Christ at a deep and loving level. Amen.